Over the last 2 weeks, we've been speaking from that portion of Scripture in Matthew 11 where Jesus invites us to be able to come to Him who are heavy laden, who are worn out, who are burdened, who are so tired of carrying the yoke of maybe depression, the yoke of unbelief. But the hardest yoke to carry is the yoke of self. That self-centeredness, old man nature, is a tough yoke to carry because it's a heavy yoke. And Jesus calls us to say, come to Him, pick up His yoke. In other words, pick up what He has already done in His death and resurrection and experience the resurrected life, experience the law of the Holy Spirit of life working, experience my peace, experience my rest, experience the fruit of the Spirit, experience the joy, the peace, experience the love. All of these things is what it involves when we pick up His yoke and keep in step with the Holy Spirit. When you keep in step with the Holy Spirit, you are yoked to Jesus. You are yoked to the Holy Spirit. And it's what He's been teaching us. And so, but today I want to focus a little bit on being yoked with Jesus, but understanding the reality of the kingdom of God and seeing the reality of why we exist in a town, in a nation, in this world as citizens of heaven, citizens of the kingdom, and how we are to be this kingdom community within the towns that we live in, and this emerging community, this emerging kingdom community, this emerging family of God, this body of Christ that's emerging in town after town throughout the nations, and for us to realize what's taking place so that we can really be part of that, yoked with Jesus in expanding and advancing the kingdom of God where we stay, where we work, whatever schools we go to, attend to, whatever it may be. So that's what we've been looking at, and we're going to focus a little bit more this morning. And one of the things that I'm doing, modeling the reality of what it means not just to read a scripture, but to meditate. You see, a lot of us have Bible in the brain, but not in the heart. You can read and have Bible in the brain, but meditating gets it into the heart. See, a lot of people have faith in the brain, but no faith in the heart. So we can quote the scriptures, we can quote the promises, but it's not real, it's not alive. There's too much doubt. All of that is there because we've got it all in the brain. And God is helping us, and so that's why I'm just taking one portion that we've been spending on, and I want you to see we've just touched it. And look how much really God has been showing us just by meditating in the Word of God. And that's why you understand when I say read the Bible, you need the general overview of Scriptures from beginning to end, but there are times now where when God shows you this Scripture, don't rush off now. Meditate, because that's God's answer. That's what God wants you to grow into, to live in, to experience the fruit of that truth. Otherwise, we've got Bible in the brain and not in the heart. And we need to be able to have the Word established in our heart, because in the heart, the good heart bears fruit. Okay. And that's the difference between religion and relational intimacy with Jesus. And we don't want to have Bible just in the mind. We want Bible in our mind and our hearts. So that's what we're up to. So in that, or in Galatians chapter 5, first of all, let me just go Galatians 5. And just that verse 1, we've used it quite often because in our understanding and our learning of atonement and redemption, we've been speaking about the power of the blood that came and set us free from being slaves to sin. And He not only just leave us there in that slave market, but He's taken us out and He's brought us into the kingdom. We are now citizens of the kingdom of God. So we've been taken out of the dominion of darkness. We've been placed into into, we now participate, we're now within the reality of God's kingdom, the kingdom of His Son Jesus Christ, the kingdom of light. So we're no longer in the kingdom of darkness, we're not ruled by darkness, we're now in the kingdom of light, and we're ruled by the incredible life of the Holy Spirit, and the freedom that that brings. And so we've been looking at that, and then the third part that we've been focusing on recently is the reality of where Christ has loosed us, has set us free so that we may remain free. And that's what we've been dealing with. How do we stay in the freedom that we have found in our Lord Jesus Christ and not be back yoked again with the power of sin, yoked again with whatever we may be battling with over there, but how to find the freedom. And so Paul writes to the Galatians and he says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. That's an incredible statement. It's like, guys, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. You get it? It's for freedom. And it's like this, wow, what do you mean? It's for freedom kind of thing. Well, that's exactly why Jesus came to set us free. It's for freedom that He came to set us free. So, and he goes on and he says, because of that, stand firm. Stand firm. Stand firm. So that's an exhortation to you and I as children of God that has discovered redemption by the blood of Jesus and has discovered the reality of freedom. And then he says, now stand firm in that freedom. Jesus came, his name Jesus, to save us from our sins. So we've been set free from the power of sin. Now stand firm in that freedom and no longer give yourself back to being a slave to sin. Okay. And then he carries on and he says, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So we can be yoked to the slavery of sin, or we can be yoked to Jesus, the sinless one. It's our choice. Okay. And so as children of God, you've got to just begin to experience more and more, because all we deal with right now is basically children of God that is so yoked by so much junk, and that carrying this junk around, and it's just like a burden. You guys must be fit. Actually, I think Christians must be extremely fit, having this big burden of self and all the stuff that they've been carrying around for so many years. No, we've got to become in Christ fitness, not in sin fitness. Okay, and so here we have an amazing truth that Jesus has been speaking, because to be a community of in the kingdom of God, to be a city of God in a town, we have to be different. We have to be the light of the world. Okay, and so we're learning what it is to be light. We're learning what it is to be citizens of the kingdom of God. And so back into Matthew chapter 11, and we're reading there from verse 25 again. At this time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this was your good pleasure. And we looked at that last Sunday a bit, and I'm showing you by just reading that there's so much depth that one can just start to go in, so that this becomes in here and it becomes a lifestyle. Okay. Don't just have this in the brain. Meditate. You can read, it'll be in the brain. You can meditate, it's in the heart. Okay, very, very important right now to be established in truth. And so we read over here, and let's notice this here. Jesus is speaking to his Father. He's just, Father, I praise you. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and of earth. And as we looked at last Sunday, this Lord is, God is a sovereign owner who's exercising his ownership rights, heaven and earth. And so we have this reality, and we see history, for instance, we see a good example of this as Pharaoh and Moses, where Pharaoh, he's Lord. Everybody, he thinks he's God. everybody thinks he's God, and that. And here God speaks to Moses and says, I'm God, and I'm going to show who thinks he's God, who really is the sovereign Lord, the owner of all, who owns all things. Okay. And now we see the reality of the outfolding of that incredible manifestation of God is truly God, the ruler of heaven and earth. And it took the Egyptians by surprise when they realized that Pharaoh is not God. And so they began to see this reality, and we see this coming to its full manifestation at the Day of Judgment, where we see, for instance, in Romans 10, we read over there that every knee will bow. Romans 14 verse 10, for we will all stand before God's judgment seat, as it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So we see it'll play out one day where everybody, all the kings, all the arrogant, everybody will have to come and say, God, you are Lord, the owner of all. And you are rightfully exercising your divine ownership right now. We are your creation. And everybody will acknowledge that. The famous one is that one in Philippians 2, where we see there about our Lord Jesus, who took on the very nature, of God, took on the human nature, and then how God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Again, the sovereignty of God, the supreme ruler, that he is Lord to the glory of God, the Father. And so that's what we looked at. And the question we were challenged with last week is that God is the sovereign owner of all. Yet, look at all the sin and sickness, look at all the corruption, look at all the evil. And we see there that when Jesus was tempted by Satan, Satan took him and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, if you bow down to me, all these belong to me, and I will give you them. You see, and so we see then in 1 John chapter 5 that the whole world is under the control of Satan. And so here we have God who is sovereign Lord. And we know that at the end of the day, Satan is thrown into the fiery lake forever. So that day will come. God is sovereignly, he is Lord. But in the meantime, we see this reality that this world system is controlled by Satan in the demonic realm because there's sin in the lives of people. And that gives Satan authority. And so we see this reality taking place. So we ask ourselves, in all of this, how does the kingdom of God become a reality? And we looked at the definition of the kingdom of God last Sunday, and we took it as this. It is the reign of God, the way God rules, and his will being manifested on earth as it is in heaven. And so we notice there that every time in the old covenant when people did the will of God, there was a expression of the reign of God, of the rule of God, of the will of God being manifested. But that was just a shadow showing us something that was about to come concerning the prophecies of the Messiah, of the King, Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden we see in the reality of the birth of Jesus, as we said last Sunday, John the Baptist began to preach, oh, the kingdom of God is near, repent. And Jesus comes on and he starts to preach the reality of the kingdom. And he says he was born a king. He wasn't made a king, he was born a king. Speaking to Pilate. And so we see here that in the reality of the life of Jesus, another dimension, the fullness of the kingdom of God, the reign and the will of God starting to manifest on this earth amongst the reality of Satan who rules. sin that rules, death that rules, sickness that rules, fear that rules, poverty that rules, all of that stuff that is hanging around and ruling because of the fall of man. And so Jesus begins to manifest, because remember, as we said last Sunday, Jesus said, "Father, the sacrifices of bulls and all that you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. I've come to do your will." What's the kingdom of God? Where the sovereign reality of Christ, of God's reign and his will is being made known. And Jesus came to do the Father's will. So Jesus now begins to release and introduce the reality of what the real kingdom of God is really like. So wherever he went, we're starting to see what God's kingdom is like, what God's reign is like, what God's rule is like, what God's will is like. And we begin to see that unfolding. The uniqueness about us, that in the old covenant, they could see the will of God being done on the outside, but for us as believers, we now experience the kingdom of God within us. So Jesus speaks about it when they were speaking to him about him casting out demons by Satan and things like that, and they're questioning him all the time. In Luke, I think it's Luke 17. And the Pharisees are asking, when is the kingdom of God, when it will come? And Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." So all of a sudden now, as believers, we experience something that they didn't experience. We're experiencing that now in Jesus, in his death, he destroyed the power of sin, the reign of God over sin. He destroyed the power of the fear of death, the reign of God being made known in humanity, in our lives. He went and he triumphed over Satan on the cross. The reign of Christ Jesus, the reign of God, the will of God, the sovereignty of God being expressed in and through his son Jesus. Nobody else. His son Jesus. That's why the name of Jesus is so powerful. Because the name Jesus, the person Jesus, is bringing in the sovereign rule, the reality of the reign, the power, everything of his heavenly Father. And so we experience now, for the first time as believers, when we get born again, unless you're born by the Spirit of God, you cannot see, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The Spirit comes into us. So now we begin to live in the reality of being in the kingdom and seeing the reality of the rule of God all around us. The unbeliever cannot see. They look at this world and they're hopeless. But we as the children, we as the kingdom of people, God, we can see the reality of the rule of God. We can see the authority of Jesus through the believer as we go and we evangelize, as we go and we set people free, as we go and we live free from the reality of being enslaved to sin. So as a believer, because the kingdom of God, we experience the freedom of the power of sin. We are no longer yoked to sin. We take on the yoke of Jesus, who has overcome the power of sin. We are no longer yoked to the fear of death. No, no, no. We are now yoked to the resurrected life of Christ Jesus. See, we experience the reign. We're experiencing the kingdom within us because we are free of the fear. We are free from the power of sin. We are free to choose the ways of God. We are free from all of that habits that kept us down. We've got a free choice because we now, by faith, not by brain knowledge, it's in our hearts, we've been established. Jesus, I've taken hold that when you died, I died. I've meditated on it. I'm alive. It's one with me. So I live in the reality. Oh, Lord, I'm free from the power of sin. I now can choose righteousness. I can now choose that which pleases you. I can choose freedom. So I stand firm in freedom that Christ has set us free, in that freedom. If we are battling all the time, that's because it's just not established. It's head knowledge. It's not faith inside yet. Meditate, guys. Meditate. Meditate. Go and ask the Holy Spirit, speak and spend time on that scriptures. In Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 7 and 6, go through that and really get it being established in one's heart. And so that is what we begin to see as we find ourselves meditating and being yoked with Jesus. We start to find that He does give us rest. We start to find He does give us tremendous peace. We start to find that His yoke is pretty light and easy because He is the overcomer. We start to find that we are able now to begin to see the reality of what it means to be transformed into the image of God as children of God. We begin to realize the power of the blood of Christ that continually cleanses us. And so we're no longer dragging our past behind us. We're no longer dragging the blame game and blaming everybody. That's a yoke. That's terrible. Wow. No, now we can put that yoke down of blaming, put that yoke down of negativeness, put that yoke down of whatever it may be. Pick up the yoke of Jesus. Life, the way, the truth, and the life. And live in the reality of the way of God. Because now I'm no longer slave to sin that said no to God. Now I'm set free because the kingdom of God rules and reigns within me. Now I can say yes to you, Jesus. And to follow and keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Now when the time when an argument comes, I don't have to now go into that argument and blah, 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 blah. I can be above it. Freedom. Freedom. See, it's practical, this freedom in Jesus Christ. How many times do you and I find ourselves sucked into an argument? Whether it's in the family or whether it's in the community or in the workplace. We get sucked into this ground-bound junk. No, no, no. We are free. We are no longer citizens of that. We are citizens of the kingdom that Christ reigns. He's overcome that. We are seated with Him. And we find we are able to be above that and release life. Think differently. Freedom. Pick up His yoke. It's pretty light. Hey. Tell you. You see how much what God has done in His Son Jesus for us, His creation? Credit to be like Him, credit in His image. And all we're doing now, because we are starting to grow up and yoked with Jesus, we're starting to live in the reality of what it is to be created in the image of God. Do you think God is stressed? Do you think God is going to get down into this and have arguments with fallen man and get upset and get offended because man said this to me, man rejected me, blah, blah, blah. No. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. See, stand firm. Stand firm in the freedom and not once again get yoked to that old man that we used to be. We're no longer yoked to sin. We're no longer yoked to that power of sin. We're no longer yoked to death. We're no longer yoked to fear. We're no longer yoked to all of that old man stuff. We are yoked with Jesus. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And then the fruit of the Spirit is what becomes alive. That's the refreshment, the refreshing that Jesus speaks about here. I will give you rest. It's a good invitation for all of us to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to not have head knowledge about this. I'm going to meditate because I want to live in the fullness of this, boy. And we're going to grow and grow and grow. So let's become more focused. When we are yoked, so Jesus says, all things have been committed. We haven't even touched that yet. We haven't even touched, yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. We haven't even touched that yet. We haven't even touched because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned. We haven't even touched that yet. Because here, Jesus, remember when Jesus asks the disciples, who do the people say I am? And they say Elijah or another prophet, etc. And Peter says, you are the Son of God. And Jesus says, wow, this has been revealed to you by the Father. The parable of the sower. We see there where Jesus is speaking in parables and the disciples ask, but why do you speak in parables? And he said, the secrets of the kingdom you have been given, but not to the wise and the learned because they are arrogant, but with a childlike heart, you believe in me. And so you can able to receive. And so Jesus is releasing a secret of the kingdom on how to live in a pressurized world in the reality of peace and rest. And all of us, this is our journey. We all, because it's very easy for all of us to get stressed over things so quickly. But he's teaching us because of a very, very important reason. So, let's get closer. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And we spend some time on that. It's God's inviting. We need to take a response. But because my free will is no longer yoked to being a slave to sin, now I can come to Jesus. I can come easy. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, the promise of Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay, now let's go deeper. We said last time that when we are yoked with Jesus, things change. So let's say we're praying for a family. Your family, my family, whatever it may be. Or you're praying for people in your school. You're praying for people in your workplace. You're praying for the city, the town that you live in. Now let's take this truth. Lord, when I look all around, all I see corruption. I see occult activity. I see domestic violence, broken families like crazy. I see substance abuse, whether it's alcohol or drugs or whatever it may be. I see so many little children there that are fearing to go home. We can name it. It just doesn't end. And as we look, and so we see the kingdom of darkness, we see the dominion of darkness, we see the power of sin operating profoundly. And all of a sudden we are in a town as children of God. And as Christ came to manifest the kingdom, now he says, you too, get involved with the ministry and the message of reconciliation. You too, those who love me will obey me. So when we obey him, we are manifesting the rule and the will of God. So we as believers are in a town, or in a workplace or school, whatever it may be, and all around us we see the operation of darkness, and God in his love placed us there in that darkness. And all of a sudden we realize now that being a child of God is not just having eternal life. But when we yoked with Jesus, and we are working as one to bring glory to the Father, who as we yoked with Jesus, we're in this town to bring glory to the Father. And Jesus said, I brought glory to you, Father, by completing the work that you gave me to do. And all of a sudden now, as believers, we begin to realize, wow, Lord, what is your work that you are wanting us to complete here so that you will be glorified? And all of a sudden, there's a church split because some will say, no, that move, no. And others say, yes, Lord, I've come to do your will. And there's a seriousness that is taking place because as believers in a town, we're beginning to realize, but Lord, with all that darkness, when we're yoked with you, we're not only yoked with you, Jesus, we're yoked with Holy Spirit and with the Father. Now practice this and you will see a faith explosion. When you go and you go into and you just look at your place where you're working and you just, by faith, you begin to, Lord, I'm yoked with you. Father, I'm yoked with you because you said, Jesus, when the Spirit of God came and dwelled within me, you and the Father come make your dwelling here. So we yoked in this together. And now you begin to look at the situation and now all of a sudden you will find a faith arising because now you're yoked with God the Father and you know His greatness. You know His goodness. You know His love. So you're looking at the hopelessness all around that you're seeing, but now you are now yoked with the Almighty God. And you suddenly find the Spirit of God is imparting such faith, such vision, such understanding that you are rising above that and you're beginning to be in the reality of being seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. You're yoked with Jesus and His function is what He's did on the cross and He's, all authority has been given to Him in heaven and earth. And all of a sudden in the name of Jesus we realize, but here's a town in the darkness, but we have the name Jesus. We yoked with the King of Kings has overcome all of us and now we can go in His name and we can go into the realm of darkness and set the captives free. Bringing glory to the Father in the name of Jesus. But do we believe in here? Or is it just here? See, we've got to get it. We've got to get it established so that yoked with Jesus is not just Bible knowledge in the brain, but we're living in the reality of being yoked with Him. And all of a sudden we realize when we're praying for the communities or the families, whatever it may be, we're not only yoked with Jesus and the Father, but also we're yoked with Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. Be yoked with the Holy Spirit because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of Jesus and the Father. And so when you're yoked with Jesus, it's the reality of the brilliant oneness of God. And now all of a sudden we realize, wow, as we're yoked with the Holy Spirit, we keep in step with the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus coming through because Jesus wants to do the will of the Father. Sudden, the Father is glorified as we go and we continue being led by the Spirit and allowing the power of the Holy Spirit manifesting the victory of Jesus in given situations. The kingdom of God is being established. You see? So God has placed all of us, whether it's in the block of flats, in the streets, wherever it may be, in the workplace, wherever we may be, God has placed children of the kingdom in that place. And encourage us to start to realize within wherever we may stay, there must be more believers. More believers starting to come together. Just like in the book of Acts, where you see over there, they're coming together. And they're learning in this community that's emerging, this kingdom community emerging, learning how to love one another, learning how to love, learning how to live, learning how to be free. So that all people will know, as Jesus says, when you love as I love you, men will know that you are my disciples. So all of a sudden now this emerging community within a city is arising, this light, this kingdom community, and all the people will begin to know that we are disciples of Jesus. You see? We're living in the freedom that our Lord Jesus paid the price for. We're no longer yoked to sin. We're no longer yoked to negativeness. We're no longer yoked to self-centeredness. We're no longer yoked to unforgiveness. We're no longer yoked to criticizing and blaming and all that there. We're no longer yoked to that. So now people can see we are different because we yoked to Jesus and we've got solutions. We've got the will of God that must become a reality through us in His name, in the name of Jesus. So when Paul writes, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is the pleasing and incredible worship unto God, your spiritual worship unto God, it's the same as we yoked with Him. Here we are, Lord, to do your will. The intimacy and bringing glory to our Father. And so Jesus, how did He do it? Well, obviously, as we said, He loved His Father and He was doing His Father's will. And then He then went and He started to call and make disciples. And He then made disciples. And throughout His journey on the earth, He was helping His disciples, teaching His disciples what the kingdom of God is all about. His teaching was the kingdom of God teaching. His manifestation of the rule of God, the will of God, wherever He went. And at the end of His life, He says to His disciples, now, I made disciples, now you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth, and I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And all of a sudden now, we as believers, kingdom community, kingdom citizens, now we take on our love for God, our obedience to what He has to say to us, and we walk in the Spirit and we do what He tells us to do. We go and make disciples. And those are the tribes now that will start to emerge, discipling them how to walk in the way of Jesus. And then you find the kingdom community, this incredible community rising up in the midst of darkness, this light rising up in the midst of darkness. You and I, as children of God, we are light. And so the Holy Spirit is going to be on our case. And one of the main areas He's going to be on our case about is our thought life. Jesus said to again to the Pharisees and the Sadducees that were complaining and saying, but Jesus, your disciples don't wash their hands before they eat. And Jesus says, hey, you've missed it, guys. It's not what goes into your mouth that makes you unclean. It's what's in your heart and comes out your mouth. It shows what you're thinking that makes you unclean. And so, if we have thoughts that are, because I know people that we deal with, and no one over here, but many times the spouse will say, I wish my spouse would die. The Holy Spirit will say, because you've got unforgiveness, because you've got offense there, you need healing. So take note of your thoughts and what the Holy Spirit is making you aware of your thoughts and respond. Travel light. Forgive. Some right now, he's speaking about it. They're wanting to know how do you forgive yourself? How do you love yourself? See, forgiveness, see, love wants the best for us. So if I've got unforgiveness in my heart, then I don't love myself because I'm poisoning myself. If you want to know how to love yourself, walk in truth. We walk in truth, we really love ourselves because now we're receiving the best, God's best for our lives. If we don't want to walk in truth, we don't love ourselves. We're harming ourselves. That's not love. We don't want the best for our lives. We're hurting ourselves. Walk in truth. Yoked with Jesus, we love ourselves. You want to know how to forgive? Simple, just a thought. If you ask God to forgive you, He's forgiven you. Who do you think you are not to forgive yourself if God's already forgiven you? How arrogant can you be? Wake up. Who do you think you are? You're not going to forgive yourself. God's forgiven you. Are you bigger than God? It's like, come on, wake up. You see, it's this twisting all the time and this self-justification, that yoke of self that people carry on all the time. You forgive yourself because, God, you've forgiven me. I've confessed. You've forgiven me in Jesus. So I release myself from all my mistakes. I loose myself. That's what forgiveness is. I release myself from it. And I thank you for healing and the power of your blood. Help people to forgive, because that's a heavy yoke to carry. Help people to love themselves with the love of God, because it's a heavy yoke to carry with this broken, self-centered, distorted love that they have for themselves. Help them to get healed. Help them. Okay. They're all over in your workplace, in our streets, everywhere we go. God is connecting us to many, many people now. It's not about ourselves, eh? We carry the yoke and He wants to bring glory to the Father. And that's why we ended last week. When we yoked with Jesus, now when we pray, yoked with Jesus, whatever we ask in His name, He will do, so that the Father will be glorified. The prayers are answered. Learn what it means to be yoked with Jesus in your prayer life, and you will start to find the breakthroughs. You'll be amazed at the power of the death and resurrection of Jesus, what He has done. The kingdom of God will start manifesting more as it gets into our hearts, and we start to see this incredible emerging city of God in a community, advancing the kingdom, making disciples, teaching them how to walk in the way of Jesus, so that they too now can go and make disciples. So may the tribes increase, may the discipling increase, but may we know the joy of the freedom that Christ has set us free, and live in that there. Let it become real. Meditate on that. I find for myself, that's why you can see I've been on that one scripture for a long time. I'm not rushing off, because I want to go deep into that. I want to live in the far greater depth of the fruit of the scripture. I want to be able to live totally free from being pressurized from communities, being pressurized by peer pressure, being pressurized by human expectation, being pressurized by all these things. I want to be totally free of that. And every time the Holy Spirit will make me aware, because I'm conscious of my emotions, and Lord, I'm going to learn now in this situation to abide, to be yoked with Jesus, because I want His rest. I want His rest here. There's a reason why I'm anxious. I want His rest. So it's step by step being established. No longer fridge magnets. They chuckle, because on my tombstone there's going to be there, no longer a fridge magnet, but living in the reality of truth. I hate these fridge magnets, because it's not in here. It must be in here. If it's there, it must go into the heart. So use the fridge magnets to go deep into lifestyle. Father, thank you for the fact that we can celebrate again your Son's death and resurrection. Jesus, we can eat of your bread and recognize the brokenness of your body for humanity. And what a joy earlier on, as you were just showing how we release the truth of your broken body into this nation, so that the diseases, so that the infirmities, so that the brokenness of mankind, they can begin to realize, but it's been placed on you, Jesus, and they can receive life because of you being raised from the dead. But the blood too, Lord Jesus, the power of being able to loose your blood into our communities, into our lives, as we partake with your blood this morning, Jesus, knowing, and as our nation, knowing the power of your blood that has paid the price for the freedom so that the nation no longer has to be enslaved to sin. A nation doesn't have to be enslaved to guilt and condemnation. A nation doesn't have to be enslaved to the power of fear. A nation doesn't have to be enslaved to the demonic realm. But they can experience through your blood, Lord, the freedom that you have paid with your blood and your body. So we want to eat together with you, Lord, so that we, here in a town where we may be, we may know the reality of this freedom. I want to thank you, Lord, for this incredible emerging community of believers, this kingdom of God, the citizenship of heaven, the city of God that's emerging in our town and the town that we may be in, the workplaces. How it's emerging. What a joy to see this light. What a joy that we're starting to see the little glimpse of your glory flowing from your throne that's in us, because you rule in our hearts. It's flowing out of us more and more into the lives of people, that they can experience the weight of your glory, the power of your glory, the goodness of your glory, the love of your glory. And we thank you. Lord, we speak over Metsamaholo, and we just loose your blood, Jesus. We release the power of your redeeming blood into the lives of the people of Metsamaholo. We loose the power of your blood, Jesus, into the lives of the people in Funabel and Furenach and Father who connected to us in the journey that we're going to. We loose the power of your blood there. We release, Lord Jesus, the power of your broken body. And we want to thank you, Father, as people now become aware of the condition of needing to be healed physically, emotionally, spiritually, holistically, so that they can come to the city of God and experience your life as we are involved with you, yoked with you, Jesus, to touch the people's lives. So thank you for the joy of the end of the day where we can sit with you and celebrate you and our involvement with you, Lord, in what you have done. So together we have glorified our Father, and we celebrate that with you, Father, in your presence, with all the angels and with all the clouds of witnesses, so because your will was done on earth. What a heavenly celebration that we participate in. And we want more, Father. We want to celebrate more, Lord God, seated with you as we do your will in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.